Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us begin with prayer. Holy Spirit of the living God, come and dwell here in such power and presence that the children of the Father gathered here are blessed and transformed by you. Move in us with such wonder that our hearts burn and yearn for more of you. Stir anew in our souls the very same work that built the church through the apostles' witness, so that we witness and you redeem through our testimony. Revive us, O Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved children of the Father, you are not left alone as orphans to live life on your own with your own strength. The living God has come to dwell in you and gives you the power to live daily as a child of the living God. The words of Christ were fulfilled, and the Spirit of truth has come to live in you. Open your eyes and see, and live by the power of the living God. The Holy Spirit is fully God, just as the Son is fully God, and the Father is fully God. Yet we don't talk much about God the Holy Spirit as much as we should, as much as we need to talk. The Holy Spirit is the very power that we must do ministry by in our lives. Did you recognize the scripture from Isaiah chapter 11? And in particular, this part: the spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and of power, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. During the rite of baptism, that's rite spelled R-I-T-E, we pray for the newly baptized this prayer. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for freeing your sons and daughters from the power of sin and for raising them up to a new life through this holy sacrament. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon them, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence. Amen. Straight from Isaiah chapter 11. We pray this prayer to make evident what has taken place through the waters of baptism. Not only has the person died with Christ and raised to new life in Christ, the very power of God to live that new life has been given by the indwelling of God, God the Holy Spirit. Look to the mighty deeds of old, and you'll find the Spirit of the Lord came upon them and gave them the ability to do the deed. Through the scriptures, particularly the book of Judges, the Spirit of the Lord came upon a person like Gideon to lead Israel. So 300 men holding only torches and blowing a trumpet to rout the Midianite army. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson, and Samson tore apart the lion with his bare hands. Later is written, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Ezekiel. And Ezekiel, by the word of the Lord, prophesied to dry bones. And the rattling sound came as the bones came together, bone by bone. Tendons, flesh appeared, skin covered them. Then prophesying again the word of the Lord, the wind came from the four winds, and breath entered, and they came to life. For them, the Spirit of the Lord came upon them to fulfill a specific task. for you. For you. Now listen very carefully here. For you. The Spirit of the Lord has come to dwell in you. Not for a specific task, but to transform your heart and your whole life. The Spirit of the Lord is not upon you. The Spirit of the Lord is in you. The Holy Spirit has taken up residence in you to give you hope, joy, strength, peace, love, the very power that you need to live the new life given to you in Jesus Christ. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. You live the Christian life by the power of God living in you. If you try to live the Christian life in your own strength, you will get tired, weary, and worn out. You will start to get frustrated and grumble that you're not growing in your walk with Christ. And you will start to be annoyed by people instead of loving them. With God's power, that indwelling very presence of God, you will grow in love for all people. You will have patience. A new kindness and tenderness will grow in you. Gentleness will replace anger. And self-control will be seen by others. In other words, the fruits of the Spirit will grow in you and be more evident each and every day. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 25 are the fruits of the Spirit. By the fruit of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Evidence of the Holy Spirit indwelling is a changed life, a transformed life, a redeemed life so different from the past that your old self has truly died, gone away, and now you have a new life. You are a new person because you are in Christ. However, sometimes that old life of sin tries to ensnare you again. But the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is what you need to rely on. Not willpower, not self-determination, but the promised presence of God working in you. Sometimes we succumb and we fall. The Spirit is grieved and hurt. The Spirit of God has feelings, but forgiveness is there for you. The Lord wants you to feel guilty, to bring about repentance and seeking the Lord for forgiveness and the strength to live moment by moment, day by day as a child of the Father. Changed lives. Like Nikki Cruz, the warlord gang leader, the Mau Maus, to evangelist for Jesus Christ. Saul of Tarsus, murderer of the early church, to Paul, to apostle, the builder of the church of Jesus Christ. And then there is you. Yes, you. How have you changed? Transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Born again by the Holy Spirit of God that has given you new life. What changes has the presence of God wrought in you? Some people need more work than others, for some start from a more broken condition. At the same time, all of us need to be growing in the fruits of the Spirit, which means daily we are learning more and more to live by the power of the Holy Spirit in us. Are you listening to the Holy Spirit in you? Are you growing in compassion for the lost and broken in heart and soul? Are you growing in your generosity toward ministry in such fashion you find yourself giving to the Lord first instead of accumulating more stuff for yourself? Are you growing in forgiveness toward others? Not because the person has apologized, but because you want the person to see Christ in you. So you forgive as Christ has forgiven you. Corrie Ten Boom told this story many times. I'm still learning to forgive. She was in a church in Munich, and there she saw him, balding, heavy-set man in a gray overcoat, brown felt hat clutched between his hands. People filing out of the basement room where she had just spoken, moving along the rows of wooden doors out the rear. It was 1947, and she had just come from Holland to defeat Germany with the message that God forgives. Hear Corey's words. It was the truth they needed most to hear in that bitter, bombed-out land. And I gave them my favorite mental picture, maybe because the sea is never far from a Hollander's mind. I like to think that's where forgiven sins were thrown. When we confess our sins, I said, God casts them into the deepest ocean, gone forever. The solemn faces stared back at me, not quite daring to believe. There were never questions after a talk in Germany in 1947. People stood up in silence, and silence collected their wraps, and silence left the room. And that's when I saw him, working his way forward against the others. One moment I saw the overcoat and the brown hat. The next, a blue uniform and a visored cap with its skull and crossbones. He came back with a rush, the huge room with its harsh overhead lights, the pathetic pile of dresses and shoes in the center of the floor, the shame of walking naked past this man. I could see my sister's frail form ahead of me, ribs sharp beneath the parched mint skin. Betsy, how thin you are. Betsy and I had been arrested for concealing Jews in our home during the Nazi occupation of Holland. This man had been a guard at Ravensbrück concentration camp where we were sent. Now, he was in front of me, hand thrust out. A fine message, Fräulein. How good it is to know that, as you say, all our sins are at the bottom of the sea. And I, who had spoken so glibly of forgiveness, fumbled in my pocketbook rather than take that hand. He would not remember me, of course. How could he remember one prisoner among those thousands of women? But I remembered him and the leather crops swinging from his belt. I was face to face with one of my captors, and my blood seemed to freeze. You mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk, he was saying. I was a guard there. No, he did not remember me. But since that time, he went on, I have become a Christian, and I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there. But I would like to hear from your lips as well, Fräulein. Again, the hand came out. Will you forgive me? And I stood there. I, whose sins had again been forgiven and could not forgive. Betsy had died in that place. Could he erase her slow, terrible death simply for the asking? It could not have been many seconds that he stood there, hand held out, but to me it seemed hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing I ever had to do. for I had to do it. I knew that. The message that God forgives has a prior condition, that we forgive those who have injured us. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, Jesus says, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. I knew it, not only as a commandment of God, but as a daily experience. Since the end of the war, I had a home in Holland for victims of Nazi brutality. Those who were able to forgive their former enemies were able also to return to the outside world and rebuild their lives, no matter what the physical scars. Those who nursed their bitterness remained invalids. It was as simple and as horrible as that. And still I stood there with coldness clutching my heart, but forgiveness is not an emotion. I knew that too. Forgiveness is an act of the will. And the will can function regardless of the temperament and temperature of the heart. Help! I prayed silently. I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You supply the feeling. And so woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me. And as I did it, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, raced down my arm, spraying into our joined hands, and then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. I forgive you, brother, I cried with all my heart. For a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and the former prisoner. I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then. Love. Intense love. By the Holy Spirit dwelling in you will bring transformation. Transformation to bring about the forming of the image of Christ Jesus in you, in all of your life. And through that image of Christ Jesus in you, the Holy Spirit will build the church of Jesus Christ. Ultimately, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is to bring the power needed to build the church of Jesus Christ. The power of witness as Peter of old. The power to face adversity as Paul and the other Christian martyrs through the ages of old. The power to forgive. The power to preach. The power to love. The power to so change your heart, you put first the needs of the lost and broken souls before your wants, your desires, and even your own needs. Yes, the Holy Spirit power in you will give you the ability to put the needs of broken, lost souls even before your own needs. The gospel of Jesus Christ must be shared. The Great Commission fulfilled. And each one of you here can do that. Because the power of the living God is in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. And gives you the strength to live like Christ. Love like Christ. Forgive like Christ. And share so people can see who Christ is, the Redeemer, the Savior, and Lord. The Holy Spirit is in you to build the church of Jesus Christ. Amen.